be welcome again, express appreciation for your being here. And again, we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. Just good to get together. So appreciate your desire to be with us very, very much. Not only to enjoy friendship and fellowship, but to involve ourselves in a time of worship as a congregation of God's people. So thank you for coming. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning. If you'd like to follow along, please do so. And of course, you can already see a title of the song, or title of the song. The sermon is the most dangerous word. And of course, you already know what it is because you have the outline. But sometimes when I ask people, what do you think the most dangerous word is? They might say, oh, hate. Oh, yeah, that's a dangerous word. Ask someone else, revenge. That's a dangerous word. Retaliation. Wow, that's right. Someone else might say insincerity. Right. Dangerous words. We're going to look at this word. And this word that we have, it's dangerous, but it's not dangerous sounding. It's not dangerous looking. The one danger in this word is that it hides its danger. It disguises it. I think, you know, when you think about it, this word is the great enemy of advancement. This word puts off what we should do today. This word leaves more tasks undone and books unread, programs unlaunched, more resolutions unkept than perhaps any other factor in life. This word is the great enemy of the church. More than, you know, well, it's a liability. More absentees have been neglected. More lessons gone unprepared. Lost people gone unsaved because of this word right here. This word is the great enemy of the soul. Caused many people to be lost. I sometimes say this word is Satan's favorite word. If he can get you to say it. Satan may never destroy your faith in the Bible. Satan may not destroy your belief in God. But if he can get you to say this word, he wins the battle. The word, as you know, is tomorrow. Tomorrow. It's interesting, I saw this cartoon in the paper, in the comics. As one guy talking to another guy who's laying in bed, he opens the door and says, "Today is the first day of the rest of your life." The man in bed replies, "So is tomorrow." Tomorrow's the first day of the rest of my life too. That's true. So we're going to look at this word in several ways, but the wise man Solomon said in Proverbs 27, verse 1, "Boast not of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring." That's right. We're not even guaranteed this afternoon, let alone think about tomorrow. Put two reasons in your notes. Steve, a good friend here, knows these. He's heard me use this illustration before. He sometimes reminds me of this particular point. What's so dangerous about tomorrow? Two reasons. One is because, first of all, you may lose your desire. Or you lose your opportunity. One of those two things may happen if you just keep putting something off. Losing your desire. You ever owe somebody a thank you note or maybe even an apology? Or just something that I need to do. And then after a period of time has passed, we think, oh, it's too late. Oh, it's already forgotten. I don't need to do it now. In fact, I don't think I'll do it at all. We still have the opportunity, but we lost the desire. The danger of tomorrow, you either lose your desire or lose your opportunity. You still have that opportunity to make that apology. You still have that opportunity to write that letter, that thank you note, or whatever it is. But
I don't want to anymore.
Boy, there was one time when I wanted to. It was number one on my to-do list. Lost my desire. But second, you may lose your opportunity. I remember a time when I kept putting off writing someone. I had the desire and had the opportunity, but I just didn't do it. And then my good childhood friend, Jim Doctor, passed away. Just a year younger than me, that was 4 years ago. And it was interesting because just that summer before he died, he'd written me a letter. Hadn't heard from him in years and years and years. Oh, I need to respond and tell Jim, yeah, and catch up on memories. And then I got a call from my other good friend, childhood friend, Denny Cross, and said, Jim passed away. Oh, no. I wanted to write him. I have a desire now, a strong desire to send that letter back to Jim. Lost the opportunity. The danger of delay. The danger of always putting something off. Either lose your desire or you lose your opportunity. We don't do it. Some people say, oh, I have a desire to become a Christian. I want to put my life in God's hands. I want to live right according to God's word. Just keep putting it off. But I know I will someday. But what if you die before you become a Christian? Now you lost your opportunity. Keep putting it off. The Bible doesn't say sometime. It says now. The Bible doesn't say tomorrow. It says today. We even have illustrations in life for this same point. You ever say, he who hesitates is lost? Yeah. He who hesitates. We sometimes admonish one another, don't, as maybe as parents to a child, don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. Yeah. That's the lesson, isn't it? Some people just put a sign up in their office or they just do it now. Do it now. I don't know who the author of this poem is. He said, there's a loving letter I mean to send. There's a visit I mean to pay. There's a careless habit I hope to mend when I get time someday. Well, there's a dusty Bible I mean to read. There's an hour I'll keep to pray. And I'll turn each dream to a golden deed when I get time someday. I'll carry flowers to the sick and sad. I'll seek for those who stray. And you can trace my steps by hearts made glad when I get time someday. And so we've thought and so we've said. Yet how sad to relate that with just less important things, we've waited until too late. Too late. Giving you some examples in your notes that I just want to look at rather briefly. In the text that was read to us this morning about the five wise and the five foolish ladies, their tomorrow was just a matter of time. There was plenty of time to prepare and be prepared, and they were. They were ready for the marriage to take place. They were at the right place, the right time. They had oil in their lamps. The five wise brought oil in their vessels with their lamps. So when it came time for the bridegroom to come, and the shout came out, all things are ready. And those who were not wise did not have the oil to put in their lamps. And so they wanted to borrow from the others, and no, you can't do that. So while they went into town to buy extra oil, that's when the bridegroom came. Took the wise with them into the marriage feast, and the Bible specifically says the doors were shut. Then come the five that went into town to buy the extra oil. Now they're ready. Now but they lost their opportunity. The door was shut. But now I have greater desire to get into the wedding feast. Well, too late. Opportunity lost. When you delay, say tomorrow, one or two things, you lose your desire or lose your opportunity. One of those two things will happen. We need to prepare and stay prepared, because one day we're going to meet God. When we understand the idea of preparation, someone asks you to go somewhere, you may say, oh, wait a minute, I have to get prepared. Let's do this. It might be an event. Oh, wait, well, let me put this in place first and make arrangements. So why the lack of preparation to meet God? Are you and I ready to face God in judgment, looking the way we do? I don't mean the physical features. But are we spiritually ready to meet God? Or do you need to make preparation? Do you need to say, God, don't send Jesus yet. I'm not ready. Please, God, wait a little longer. Or can we, as in the revelation of Jesus to John, when he closes out the revelation letter, says, pray, come, Lord Jesus. So which is it? Which prayer is on your lips? Come, Lord Jesus, or please wait a little longer. I need to make preparation. Amos 4, verse 12 says, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare. The situation is, I just want to read the story to you, about the certain rich man. It's in Luke chapter 12, beginning of verse 13. Luke 12, beginning of verse 13. So then one from the crowd said to him, meaning Jesus, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. He said to him, man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator for you? And then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. So he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there I'll store all my crops and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat. Drink. Be merry. Oh, but God said to him, foolish one, this night your soul will be required of you. And then whose will those things be which you provided or stored up? And then Jesus makes the lesson. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Oh. Wow. So this man announced everything he was going to do tomorrow. I'll build my bigger barns. I'm so blessed. I have abundance. But the night passed, the day dawned, the tomorrow came, the one that he was counting on. Oh, but he lost his opportunity. That night, his soul was required of him. Lost his opportunity. The lesson doesn't mean to forget the future. That's not the point Jesus is making. Doesn't say, oh, you shouldn't give the future any forethought. Because any worthy life has to make plans. We have to count the cost. Many of the comforts we have today is the fruit of labor that was sown yesterday. So the lesson Jesus is giving is that this man's soul was required of him, and he was not rich toward God. That's his lesson. So beware of covetousness. A man's life consists, Jesus said, consists not of the things that he possesses. Get ready for tomorrow. Another poem. I don't know who the author of this one is either. But he was going to be all that a mortal should be tomorrow. No one would be better than he tomorrow. So each morning he'd stack up the letters that he would write tomorrow. It was too bad indeed. He was too busy to see Bill, but he promised to do it tomorrow. The greatest workers this man would have been tomorrow. The world would have known him had he ever seen tomorrow. But the fact is, he died and faded from view, and all that was left when living was through was a mountain of things he intended to do tomorrow. Tomorrow. The third illustration I have in your notes is the story of Governor Felix. Here the Apostle Paul is preaching to him a very important message to Felix and his wife Drusilla. Paul has reasoned to the Governor Felix of righteousness when Felix was unrighteous. Paul preaches to Felix about self-control when Felix doesn't have any. And Paul preaches to Felix about the judgment to come. Even though Felix now sat and judged others, Paul said there's a time coming when it's going to be reversed, and Felix, you will be judged by Christ. Felix trembled when he heard that. He trembled, the Bible says. He was moved to obey. He knew what to do. Uh-oh. But he didn't. He didn't. He had a convenient season for 2 years. And he says to Paul, go your way right now. When I have a convenient season, I'll call you. For 2 years, he calls Paul back, and the Apostle Paul preaches. How can you listen to the Apostle Paul and not be convicted? You know, convinced. But he says, oh, when I have a convenient season, he has a little desire. No, he's trembled. But he said, not right now. Tomorrow, when a convenient season. Called for Paul 2 more years. Paul preaches. He has opportunities, but now he's lost his desire. So when Felix leaves office, he leaves Paul in bonds. Uh-oh. See, it's the danger of delay. See, the soul has its favorable moments. There's a time when you may desire salvation. However, if you don't act upon it, you may lose that desire no matter how many more sermons you hear. Felix heard many sermons, 2 years of sermons, and never obeyed. So that may be a situation that we've experienced. We've heard a tremendous lesson or sermon. And all we were moved, if it was me, you'd say, oh, Brian, I was that close. Oh, I wanted to, I just didn't do it. You come back the next Lord's Day. Brian preaches another sermon. Oh, yeah, there goes Brian again. Yeah, that was okay. But I don't have a desire. I don't tremble that Lord's Day. Didn't tremble the next Lord's Day for the next X number of years. You've heard me preach, but you didn't tremble. But you trembled that one day, and you didn't act upon it. You still have opportunity, but you lost your desire. The danger of delay, you lose your desire or you lose your opportunity. One of those two things. The last illustration is King Agrippa. In Acts chapter 26, again, the Apostle Paul is preaching. You'd think, surely the Apostle Paul will be convincing. But he says, and Paul said, said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Paul said, he didn't even, the text, Paul didn't even wait for King Agrippa to answer. He says, I know that you believe the prophets. And Agrippa said to Paul, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Oh, so close. Oh, so close. I know the desire is there, the opportunity, but he says, I'm going to wait. He says, tomorrow. I don't know if he ever obeyed the gospel or not. But I do know he had at one time the desire and the opportunity. And he didn't act upon it. How many here today, you don't have to don't hold your hand up, but just think you've been moved to obey at some time. My heart was stirred. I had that feeling that's the right thing to do. And you know what I did? Didn't do it. You may have lost your desire, but you still have opportunity. I'll close with this. I spent my money foolishly in Satan's deadly snare. Christ asked me but to give my love, but that I couldn't spare. I wasted hours carelessly in gay, exciting chime. He, meaning Jesus, asked me to follow him, but I didn't have the time. He pleaded, go with me to lands where tears shall never flow. And I said in friendly tones but cold, tomorrow I may go. Jesus bowed his head and turned to leave. Then I heard a small voice say, my friend, tomorrow may never come. Give him your life today. Today. So that's the lesson. The most dangerous word. I hope you agree. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. It's a time that we plead and pray and, you know, extend that invitation out for you to become a Christian if you have not done so already. Or you want to respond in a public way while brethren are here to pray with you and for you, you know, just simply let that request be known. And the way to do that is we're going to sing this song of encouragement, song of invitation. So while we're here, if that's your desire, just come and have a seat beside me. And at the close of the song, I'll just simply say, what's on your mind? And you say, Brian, I want to be baptized for remission of sins. Or Brian, I want brethren to pray with me for safe journey. Or for a sick friend. Or for a situation in my life. Whatever it is. So that may be a situation that you want to share with us this morning. If you want to become a Christian, we preach biblically. That's just simple steps or a formula. Number one, you'll need to hear the gospel, the word of God. Paul said in Romans 10, verse 14, how can you believe in someone you haven't heard? So you have to hear. You have to hear that John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. You have to hear that message. And then second, you'll need to believe it. Jesus himself said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. Well, I don't want to die in my sins. So I need to hear a good news gospel message, and then I'll need to believe it, that God sent his son for me. And then number three, you'll want to repent of your sins, turn your life around. Turn away from self-serving to serve God. You know, just hate the situation you're in. I want to be on God's side. Jesus said it in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. Except you repent, you'll perish. Well, I don't want to perish either. And then number four, you'll want to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's son. That's what the Ethiopian did to Philip when he preached unto him Jesus. He preaches a Jesus sermon, and the Ethiopian interrupts it and says, here's water, what's hindering me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe, you may. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's son. That's the confession we make. And so Philip, when he heard that confession, he said, stop the chariot. Really, in King James, it's commanded the chariot to stand still. And so then he goes down into the water, both Philip and the Ethiopian, and Philip baptizes him. They come up out of the water,
And the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing, and the Spirit of the Lord catches Philip away and takes him to another city. So it's a simple plan or formula or steps that we preach, that we teach for how one becomes a Christian and how one is born again. And gets on God's side. So if you want to have prayers for strength or encouragement, if you want to request baptism, we can accomplish.